Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to your truth and help us to listen, to hear, and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage from 1 Samuel is perhaps a very well-known Sunday school story. Small boy Samuel, taken from his home, dedicated by his mother to God's service. He was taken to the elderly priest Levi to assist him in his duties. So Samuel was in the house of God, assisting this elderly priest. He hears God speaking to him and responds. And this is the beginning of a great life and ministry of Samuel as a prophet of God. We need to, before going further, we need to look at the background to this story. Verse 3 talks about the temple of the Lord. And this can cause some confusion because we know that the temple, the first temple, Solomon's temple, was built many years later. This was very early in the life of the nation. The kingdom hadn't been established. Then there was King Saul, then King David, and then King Solomon who built the temple. So this very obviously doesn't refer to Solomon's temple. At the time of our story, the people had entered the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And what is this text referring to? What was this temple? Was it a building with solid walls, or was it like a tent? The answer is that the Ark of the Covenant was housed in a tent structure. And this they had brought with them into that promised land. And then the ark came to a place called Shiloh, and the ark was housed in a structure. And it was either a structure of cloth or one with solid walls, but not as permanent as something like Solomon's temple, which was to come much later. So Samuel, small boy, let's say about 6 years old, was in that temple helping the elderly priest who was nearly blind. Samuel hears a voice in the night and he assumes that the elderly priest Eli needs some assistance. And Eli hadn't called him. It happened a second time. Eli hadn't called him. It happened a third time. And it was then that Eli realized that it was the call of God. And God spoke to Samuel. Samuel was told to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went back and he said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And God gave him a specific message, a message that he was to pass on to the elderly Eli. Now, if you look at that message, it was pretty terrible. No adult would want to bring that news to anybody, let alone as a small boy. "I am about to do a thing in Israel which the 2 ears of anyone who hears it will tingle." And he prophesied against Eli, "I will declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." A message of permanent doom that this young boy was asked to bring to the elderly Eli. That's not a very nice thing to have to tell anybody. I can imagine Samuel got up in the morning and avoided the elderly priest as long as he could. He did his duties and tried to keep out of the way. But that didn't last too long. He had to give the message of God's doom and destruction. The elderly priest was not ruling things properly. His sons were immoral and they were abusing the sacrifices of God's people. And the whole thing was corrupt. And so little Samuel had to give that message to the elderly priest. And his response was, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." He had already had warnings like that. And this young boy had to give that terrible message of doom. Samuel hid nothing from the elderly Eli. And that was the beginning of a turning point in Samuel's life. He was called as a prophet. And it says, none of his words fell to the ground. He was. There was a public realization eventually that Samuel was a messenger from God. So what are we to make of this passage, of this Sunday school story? I think the first thing that we need to explore is the role of children in the church. This passage is very significant. Its message here about the role of children in church, I'm giving not for your exhortation, but for your encouragement. Because you bring many, many children to church. Just as we see the small boy Samuel brought into the temple of the Lord and being exposed to God's teaching. So I think the story tells us very assuredly that young children have a significant and important place in the church. We minister to many families with young people. What a responsibility, what a joy, what a potential there is. Have you ever looked at these young people and thought of the sheer potential? One, two, maybe more of them becoming outstanding warriors for God, and many of them serving him. What a potential. So I'm not exhorting you to bring children to church. I'm encouraging you for doing so. And you know, it's not all that common. In England, I know a senior rector of a parish who visited some churches in his area, and he said they're one generation away from closure. No young people. One generation away. 20, 30 years perhaps. I think of the church I went to in Belfast as a boy. Close. Here we see the importance of the younger generation being brought to God, hearing about God, learning, listening to God speaking to them. And what we learn from this is that God's call can come to children early in life. Let's not forget that. I may have told this story before, but the head of the seminary where I train once said to us, "Children are the church of tomorrow, aren't they?" We all said, "Yes." He said, "They're the children of today." And looking over his glasses, "Don't you forget it." So they're the church of today. God's call can come to young children in early life as it did to this young Samuel. And the passage tells us too that God's call can come to a child even if he or she has had little or no personal experience of God. And that was the case. That was the case with Samuel. Verse 7, he didn't yet know the Lord. But the point is, the young people may not have much of a great knowledge of God or realization of him, but God knows them. This is the point. God's call can come to the child even at a very early age. And then it's important, of course, that young children are brought to the church and they're welcomed here. We have the sacrament of baptism and children are dedicated and prayed for. And this lesson from 1 Samuel also tells us the importance of the word of the Lord. God spoke to Samuel. And we must, a little later, look at that. How does God speak today? And children should be taught to listen and obey. In this very simple story, this young boy was already learning something. To listen to God and to respond to him. That two-way communication, which children are certainly capable of. So let's be very clear on biblical grounds that children have a very significant role in the church and a very significant responsibility for these children to be brought up in God's truth. We can go further because not only lessons about children in the church, what about lessons for us all from this story? The first lesson is that God is a God who communicates. We need to explore in a moment how, and how does he do so today, but God communicates. And our task is to listen, to be near enough him to hear, and then to listen, and then to respond. There's a consistent pattern through Scripture of God communicating with his people. We could look back for these people to the time when they were in the wilderness before they'd come into the promised land. They were in a wilderness that they didn't know and they didn't know where to go next. But God communicated and guided them very surely. They knew from a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud when to move, how fast to move and where to move to. And we have a promise of that guidance and communication from God. The psalmist, Psalm 32, says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That's in Psalm 32, and if we take that in its context, it's a promise for the person who is close to God, the one whose sins have been confessed and are forgiven. But for us, there's a very important concept here, the concept of the word of the Lord. Our passage tells us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. They'd had God's word from Moses, and they'd been led by Joshua, who was guided by God. And then they went through a period of anarchy and instability. No frequent vision. But what happened then, subsequently prophets were sent, and they were pronouncing God's will for people and proclaiming future events. There was to the people a tremendous revelation of God. And the point is that we have got that and so much more. We not only have God's word in writing, we have the revelation of God in Christ, the living word, who shows us God. The point is this, that in Samuel's time, he heard God speaking, but he did so by miraculous means. There was no other way that he could hear God's word. But in our age, we have the full revelation of God in the Holy Scripture. And we must be very clear that God's word is absolutely sufficient, not to be added to. We have got all the spiritual guidance that we need in the Holy Scripture. Second Peter says that God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And God's word is perfect. His communication is perfect. It's not to be doubted, denied, questioned, or tampered with. This was the problem way back just after creation in the Garden of Eden. First of all, God gave a command, then it was doubted. Has God really said that? And then it was denied. We must be very clear that as the young boy Samuel was obedient and hearing God, we have got a much, much infinitely greater revelation, and we must be faithful to it and respond to it and respond to divine truth. If you read through the scriptures, the text is replete with many examples of disobedience. Started in the Garden of Eden and continued ever since. Jesus told a parable of the sower. There were different the seed was sown and there were different outcomes. One writer has put it in alliteration. He said some of the seed was stolen, some of it was scorched, some of it was suffocated, and some of it was successful. The different responses to God's truth. It can be stolen and put aside. It can be scorched. It can be suffocated because of other interests. And the only outcome that is pleasing to God is for God's word to be successful. And we have a problem that God's word, the truth of that God's word, can be stolen by the enemy of our soul. It can be scorched because we can't take any opposition. It can be suffocated by materialism and hedonism and the pleasures of the world. And the story tells us also that God's word is to be obeyed, whatever the cost. A small boy, Samuel, given a horrendous message to somebody. And God's call quite often takes us out of our comfort zone to do something that that we wouldn't normally wish to do, that isn't comfortable. I think probably everyone who's ordained has had that experience, some experience out of the comfort zone. And we must be careful that God's word is to be obeyed. This lesson is not only a Sunday school lesson. It's a lesson for us all. But there's one more thing that we must clear up before moving on. How does God communicate to us? I think that we seek his communication. We seek his guidance in various situations. There's guidance in general and guidance on specific issues for specific occasion. If you consider guidance on matters of morals, behavior, and conduct, it's all in the Word. It's there. We don't need to ask for guidance. We need to ask for strength to obey. The epistle from 1 Corinthians said, flee from sexual immorality. Now, we don't need guidance about that. We need to obey. It's perfectly clear what God's will is. We need to know what God's word says. We need to listen and obey. We need strength to be faithful and obedient. And also, we need to sincerely repent when we have failed. In the Corinthian passage, it mentions various aspects of immorality, and it says, such were some of. These people had been forgiven, they'd been restored. And that is something that is very significant. And the passage in 1 Corinthians talks about God's love, who can forgive, but also a God of justice, who punishes. Some, it says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to say just a little bit about God speaking to us on major life decisions. On general issues such as behavior, it's in the Word. But what about the major questions that we have? Questions about job and marriage and housing, really big issue. Is God calling me to be a missionary or to be pastor of a church or where to work? Big issues like that so often perplex people. Let me just give you a few guidelines. The obvious one is to start is to keep close to God, to seek His will, to determine His will, and to be close enough to hear. And also to do this with the assurance of God's love, the assurance of His control. He's got the ability to lead, even in perplexing situations. And another thing I want to say here is, don't seek experiences that bypass the mind. Don't seek experiences that bypass the mind. Don't look for exceptional or extraordinary solutions. Don't ask for a voice from heaven, such as the boy Samuel had. God has given us minds. He has given us the gift of speech, and He communicates to us, and He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we don't look for extraordinary guidance. And the point of Christian living is not that it bypasses the mind, but the Holy Spirit uses the mind. And this is a very important aspect. And yet, the balance, we have to realize that sometimes extraordinary communication occurs. God is sovereign. He can do what He wishes. And the Bible says that we shouldn't seek these situations, but if they come, we test the spirits. I could give an example. I'm not going into the details, but I had such a word from Bishop Brock on one occasion, where he gave me some very specific advice and direction. And he knew information that I hadn't given to him. I'm not going into the details, but he tested this. This was God speaking to me through His servant. It took me aback at the time, but you can get this experience, a word of wisdom or knowledge from someone, and test it. Maybe God speaking to you through that individual. But be careful. Don't look for these experiences. And if they come, ask, is this God? Is this God's will? Is this God's work? And the summary is, in all of this, is to trust God, because He is in control. Yield to Him completely. You're puzzled and perplexed about life. God's in control. He knows everything. He knows your needs. He knows all the circumstances. So the question again comes to being yielded to Him. Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears. Seek God, listen to Him, obey Him, And remember, think of the impact that the little boy Samuel had on the nation. Colossal impact over the whole nation. And it's my prayer that this may be true of many people here connected with this church, including the precious young ones whom God loved very intensely. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you and we love you, we trust you. We pray that you will speak to us and keep us close enough to you to listen humbly and to obey. And we pray for all the children represented in this church today. O Lord, pour out your love upon them. Oh, may they be your faithful soldiers and servants. May they, with the power of your Holy Spirit, turn this city and this country and the world upside down to your truth, your love. We pray in faith, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.